If they get the chance, they were born in bloody circumstance. To go, leave me, run like you've never run before. A voice from the underground, giving room to breathe, not but be drowned. So die if you get the chance. Better men than you've been let this dance. To go, leave me. Nothing left for me to hate, so I can lay me down, my brothers on the ground. I bled today until Coyote comes to raise me up and carries me.
Good evening. Welcome to the Scottish Rugby Podcast. It is myself, John Anderson, at the helm once again tonight. We are joined by a number of special guests. We have got Ian Hay in the chair. Ian, good to see you, buddy.
Good timing. Just when I kept myself on mute. Hello. Hi, everyone.
Hi, John. Hi, Ian. This is my new thing. I'm trying to like catch people mid-drink. It's something I'm going for.
Swine.
I know, yes. Aha! Johnny McGinty, you're also joining us. Yes! Yes, I got you mid-drink.
Hello. I did that on purpose. I hope you appreciate it.
I did, yeah. Are you graduating tomorrow?
I'm ready.
You got a cap?
No, do you know what? At Dundee, you've got to pay extra for the cap. Which, like, seems unwise, because obviously all Scottish people just go, nah. So, no, I'm not.
Exactly.
No, I'm not wearing the cap.
My graduation was, I had to like doff the cap to the like dean as I walked past him, and apparently like a couple of my mates were in the front row, said I sort of did a sort of wink, like a sort of, all right, big man, cheat us.
like a Fred Russell pat him on the belly.
Yeah. Are we winking? Did you do the running man as you went past? Anyway, that's besides the point. Craig, you're also with us tonight. Good evening, Craig. How the hell are you?
Doing just fine. Spent a day looking at a cow's arse. So, yep, it's been a fantastic day. The only place that smells of udder mint more than a Howe Fife Knight's changing room.
Just the one cow? Do you have a problem?
No, it's many cows. I was at Scott Agri today, which is a cow show, of all things. For some reason, there was lots of tractors, there was cows, there was lots of things.
Nobody knows how to play to the crowd of a Scottish rugby podcast like Craig Manson tell us always at the Scottish Agricultural Show today.
We don't have
one for the farmers there.
Oh, the farmers. Yeah, Alex DeMar was a farmer.
Yeah, but he's special.
He's a mighty farmer.
Well, the rest of them are all support Hoik and Melrose, and because we don't talk about the club game enough,
they won't support us. They won't support us.
We don't have the time. We'd love to, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Well, we are also joined tonight. Fifers. We are also joined, boys and girls. I'm going to play this. It's kind of like the wrestling. Here we go. Of course, it is our very own. In my head, that sounds like Cammy Black. Cammy, welcome back. Black is back. How you doing, buddy? Good to see you along. Can't hear a word you're saying.
And he's left himself on mute.
He's not plugged his mic in, look.
He's not plugged his mic in.
How long has he been away?
Too long, Johnny, too long. I thought I was watching before when you were saying you're going to introduce people while they were drinking. Poor Craig, I thought he was going to drown because he held his glass to his lips for ages. I did enjoy the Undertaker intro though, which makes you, does that make you Paul Bearer then, John?
It does, mate, yeah.
Not, I would make a bald joke, but apparently it's anti-feminist now to make jokes about people's hairlines, according to Joe Douglas and Stuart Hall.
Well, I would hold that thought, Cammy, because we may have one more video later on in the show. But great to see you back, buddy. Great to have you along. Obviously, we done the OnlyFans the other day, and that was the kind of the Patreons got the first return of the Cammy Black, but this is the second coming of Black. That sounds rude.
Oh, why would you not
at my age, it takes. I was going to say, at my age, it takes a long time before there's any second coming.
Anyway, let's get this back.
You're lucky to have a first comings.
It's your birthday soon, Craig.
Christmas comes quicker.
Guys, seriously.
And yet, I seem to be the one who gets accused of lowering the tone all the time.
Why is Ian the voice of reason here?
Jesus. Right.
Anyway, back and
carry on, Scottish podcast.
carry on. we'll probably come on to the damn health my later on. So you're on the Scottish Rugby podcast. If this is the first time you're coming along, we're probably running for the hills just now. It's not always like this, I promise.
Hang on. Okay.
That might be false advertising. If you are here and you like what you see, though, you're insane. But never mind. You can head over to patreon.com/Scottish Rugby Podcast to support us. £3 a month will support the podcast, and you'll get yourself exclusive content, including some interviews, things we've done in the past, and some more of this, because we do deliver this. What you will probably pay your £3 a month for, most importantly, is the world-famous Hands in the Ruck section, where me and the boys will cut loose a wee bit. There will be some swearing. There will be some setting the world to rights. And I presume tonight is going to be quite good at that, given what happened at the weekend. We've got a few people joining us on the comments as well tonight, so it's great to see you all along. Cammy, apparently, you seem to have grown younger during your absence. Maybe
you
it really was
younger,
a dream.
Actually. He's not wrong.
Doesn't he?
I've lost a bit of weight. I've been on the side.
Stress not having to do this podcast every week.
I know, that's it. Not having to keep you in line.
What, does that... Does that
moving house is less stressful than doing this.
I know, that's it.
Moving to a different... Why is John not lost any
weight? Whoa! Body shaming.
I was only asking a question.
He's been comfortable eating.
Sound that klaxon, John.
Bloody right. 2 seconds. There's so many videos because I've added so many today, though. That's a problem. Right. Yeah, Craig, that's your warning for tonight. That's you sorted. Right, shall we go on? Shall we go on with some rugby, boys? I think that was
quick before I discuss the irony of Manson body shaming anybody.
Yes, absolutely. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, right. You're on the naughty step, Manson. You just behave yourself. You'll get back in a sec. Right. No, let's talk. Let's talk rugby. Obviously, a couple of massive, massive games at the weekend. Where do you want to start, boys? Do you want to go?
Barbarians against the All Blacks 15.
Fabulous, fabulous show.
Or you could always talk about Richie Gray being banned.
We could always talk about Richie Gray. But I was presuming that might come up in casual conversation. But yes. Yes, well, there was a plan to this, Craig. Let's go with the All Blacks.
My apologies.
Right, so Scotland.
He's bringing the chaos.
Yes, yes. He is the Finn Russell to our Jaco van der Vault here.
So, what you're saying is I'm the best person on this podcast.
I think I was saying you.
I'm glad you broke up there.
I think I was saying you're fourth choice and not liked by the coach. Yeah, so All Blacks game at the weekend, guys. Let's again chronologically. Let's start at the start. Cammy, watch the game. The Doddy Weir tribute. Oh my days.
Oof. Look, we can't roll Doddy out every time we play the All Blacks just to get the team up, G'd up, right? But what a start that was.
It has worked.
Was it
twice
not?
In a row now?
Twice in a row. What a start that was for everybody to have Doddy delivering the match ball. I mean, I was in bits.
Yeah.
It's just that was, you know, yeah. Great to see Doddy, great to see his family, a great moment for them. And you could see, I mean, you know, Jamie Ritchie talked about before and after the game, and they'd obviously harnessed it. And it does, you know, it does put it in perspective. It's only rugby. Do you mean the end of the day? It's only a game at the end of the day, and you see what Doddy's going through. You see where he is now, and the fact that, you know, 5 years ago, the last time we played this fixture, he was told he had a year to live. And here we are 5 years later, and he's still going strong by all accounts. You know, yes, it takes its toll, but, you know, he's still with us. He's still doing all the fantastic work. It's not what... It's hard to say. It's like, you know, that is not the emotion I wanted to feel at, you know, 2:15 on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it was a very powerful thing.
Do you know what was quite funny though? Obviously, the players have reacted to the situation, realizing that the wheelchair couldn't necessarily go into the centre of the pitch. I don't think that was necessarily conveyed to the players. My absolute highlight, and I'll come at you, Ian. I don't know if you noticed this, and I'll come at you because you kind of look slightly like him at times. Sam Whitelock demanding the ball off Jamie Ritchie. Doddy's just literally handed him the match ball, and Sam's like, "Yeah, but we're kicking off, mate."
It looks like someone put Sam Whitelock on a boil wash. By the way, let's be perfectly clear about that.
I had all those years in the sun. That's why, you know.
did you notice that from?
I'll look after my skin. I'm moisturised to the hilt. He just wanted to be. He just wanted to be close to Doddy. That's all.
He did. Yeah, yeah. And then moving on chronologically, Craig, I'll come to you. The Haka. Talk to me about the response from the Scotland fans.
It was a weird one because, first of all, just to go back to your point about Doddy and things like that, I've never seen so many wet eyes in Murrayfield for some time. And the other thing was, I've been to a lot of rugby games at Murrayfield. I've never heard Flower of Scotland sung like that before. Flower of Scotland was the loud, like, I've heard it sung and you think, wow, that's amazing. I've heard been at England games and it's quite amazing. And I was there when, well, you know, they were when they started stopped playing in the second verse, and it was quite, you know, the hairs in the back of your neck went up. But I've never heard Flower of Scotland sung like that before, and the Scotland fans were absolutely in tune. as in tune with the moment. a really emotional, an emotional start to the game. The Haka, it's a difficult one because I know all the discussions about, we should stop letting the All Blacks have their dance at the beginning and have all the focus on them, and we should front up against them into it. But so there was a lot of Scotland fans who started shouting, singing Scotland, 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 or whatever. It's no singing, but it's chanting Scotland, and there was a lot of noise. So half of me went, yeah, we should be in their face and we should be shouting them down. But half of me was also saying, look, I've brought my family here to watch Scotland play the All Blacks, and the Haka's all part of it. So, it was my son and my daughter's first time seeing the Haka live and seeing the All Blacks play. My son's nudging me when Jordy Barrett's over taking kicks before warm-up and stuff like that, and saying, have you seen some of these guys? Look at the size of... I forgot. His name's just gone right out of my head. The winger.
Mark Savile.
No, it was the other guy, Caleb Clark. Just the size of this guy and things like that. So for me, I'm not saying it's disrespectful or anything like that. I'm not getting on the high horse on that. I was really in a juxtaposition. Shove their Haka where the sun doesn't shine, but I also wanted my family to experience the Haka and seeing it. So it was quite muted from the All Blacks, I have to say, in my eyes. It seemed very muted, and the Scotland fans certainly shouted it down, which is good.
I think the thing is with the Haka, you take your medicine, right? That's the bottom line with the Haka. You don't respond. It's there. I've got no issue at all with them performing it. I think the way it's performed now is that speaks to the New Zealand Maori culture. It's an invitation to a chat. It's them laying down the challenge. I'm all for that. But you take the medicine with that. You absorb it and use it as you will. It's not.
Yeah.
You don't have to go back with your own challenge while they're doing it. I mean, the rugby league thing where you had, was it Tongan?
My God.
That was amazing
watching them both like hack at the same time. But we haven't got anything equivalent. So I think you're right, Craig. I think there's no need for the fans to start singing anything. You just absorb it and you take it and you use it in any way. It's not supposed to be intimidating. It's a challenge. That's it, and people get all the high horses. There was a couple of players doing the throat slitting gesture, but again, even that's supposed to be, it's not a throat slitting gesture, it's about the release of life, supposedly. But that's it, you just take your medicine with it, you don't challenge it, just watch it for what it is, and that's it. We don't need
They've said before, like the All Blacks themselves have said that actually, when it comes to the opposing team, they don't mind a response and they kind of quite expect a response. And so, like, yeah, the fans singing is something a little bit different, but honestly, like, the best Haka I've ever seen is like the one where France had the t-shirts on that made like the big French flag, or the one where Wales? It got like right up with them. I love stuff like that. Like, if the other team has something they want to do, I'm up for
it. Did Alan make the number eight when Axel Foley went?
Yeah.
As well, they stood in the figure of eight. And I think
Keith Wood just walked straight up himself, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, Cockers did it as well, didn't he? Was it a Barbarians game? Cockers went and fronted up to them. I think that's it. It's a stupid world rugby rule, which comes back to it's the whole kind of red trouser politeness. Brigade thing.
You must stand 10 meters back from this.
Where
indigenous folks as they perform the war dance.
I'm surprised they didn't all put piff helmets on. And this is only personal. Please, I'm not being angry at anybody. I'll talk about it later about the experience of going to Murrayfield for an All Blacks game was phenomenal, but for me, the most exciting part of it is not hearing a pin drop in the stadium while they do the Haka, and there is a respectful up in their face from a team. The whole England thing of Owen Farrell smirking and things like that, I'm not into that. just think that I don't mind a show of passion from the team that are going up against them, because we want to sort them out. We want to put them back in their box, to coin a friend, George, John. But on my side of things, I just it's more spine tingling for me to, especially I think that that 5 years ago when it was a night game and we had all the lights out and everything, and then you've got the haka and it's entertainment, isn't it? You know,
yeah. And at that one in 2017, just as the haka was finishing, then the crowd started singing "Flower of Scotland" again, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. And like that's a little bit different than just sitting there going school. Like they'd got to the very end of the haka, and then everyone started. I think the piper must have come up just at the sort of very last line of the haka, and then there was a massive Flower of Scotland just after it. And I was like, "This is amazing! That was brilliant."
Was that 15 or 17?
17.
That was like the one in 15 when we had the red shorts on, and Tommy Seymour scored the intercept try.
Oh yeah.
Because that was also a night game, I remember, because I left my mate's wedding to go to that game.
Dude, I have to say, 2017, the night game with the haka and with Doddy bringing out the ball, that was like, I have never experienced an atmosphere like that anywhere ever. It was incredible.
The thing is, though, and we'll come on to this, it goes the same for the team and the fans, is you can't just get it up for the All Blacks game.
Yeah,
no, that's been a theme so far of this tournament. Is yes, it's great to go and see the All Blacks, and yes, people are willing to pay for the experience, but the fans can't just turn up for one game. The team just can't turn up for one game just because it's the All Blacks. And I think therein lies a bit of the yes, it's spine tingling. I agree with you, Craig. It's fantastic, but every game should be spine tingling at Murrayfield.
Yeah. I think it's the same thing though with England. You know, we always talk about everybody talks about. It's a sellout for England. There's not a seat to be had because we want to, you know, you've got to go to a Scotland-England game because the atmosphere is phenomenal. Well, I totally agree with you, Cammy. We should have. If the SRU are to be believed, the Murrayfield sells out for all these international games, well, maybe we should.
No, the official line, Craig, is that they've sold the most tickets ever.
Right, okay.
Because they put on an extra game.
That's
the official line. Yeah. It's not that all the games are sellouts. It's that they've sold the most tickets ever because they put on an extra game.
And this is the second year they've done four games. And last year, the out-of-window game was against Tonga. So obviously, Australia sold more tickets this year. And that's why they've sold the most tickets ever.
This year,
they've got an out-of-window game against Australia and a game against the All Blacks. And they're going, we've sold the most ever tickets.
But this is the first time we've ever done four games.
Season pass, which means that 58,000 people are still said to be turning up to the Fiji game. And £1 tickets for kids. It's lucky if it was 5,800 there. So, but me and Johnny were there. So that made the difference.
Craig and I will be there on Saturday.
I will be there as well, so we will no doubt bump into each other. Craig can apologise in person for his slights on my body. right, let's go on to the actual game itself. So, 8 minutes in, boys, girls, Scotland are 14 points down and have been blown
Where's
off
that gif of the Formula One car with all the wheels falling off?
Yeah. it has went horribly wrong by this point. What came after that was, and I'm going to say 60 minutes, or let's go 50 to be generous, right? 50 minutes of Scotland playing the best rugby they've played in 5 years.
It's all Finn's fault.
It's all Finn's fault. It is all Finn's fault we played the best rugby we've played in 5 years. Yeah, you're right, Craig.
I don't think, well, is it the best rugby we've played in 5 years?
No, because it wasn't.
Because the 2019, the second half of England against England in 2019,
only 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So the 10 minutes makes all the difference.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And you know, I thought, well, if you compare right that England team where they're an Eddie Jones England team, and let's face it, they've kind of been flattering to deceive for many years. That All Blacks team, yeah, they've not been at the top of the game, but like based on that first 10 minutes, I mean, the score, like, based on the first 10 minutes, I was turning it off going, well, that could be 100 points. We could literally take a tank in here.
The problem that we're talking about, though, is exactly what Cabby said. Like, when you start to rack your brains, the last 5 years, what's the best rugby that Scotland have played? There's Sunday. There's the 2021 Calcutta Cup game at Twickenham where we beat them.
Yep.
There's the 2019 Calcutta Cup game, the 38 All game, and then there's the 2017 All Blacks game. Now, that's four games in 5 years, and we're talking about two against England and two against the All Blacks.
And maybe
so where is that for the other 30 games?
Maybe the away game against France as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've clearly got an issue with
the game where Jamie Ritchie got punched in the face. We were very good in that
against
game.
France.
So basically, what we're saying is we can play against the top three in the world.
Australia away in Sydney. Oh, wait, is that still 5 years?
That was the Lions year, wasn't it? It's the first time we've had our absolute best team on the pitch together.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we've ever had that back line with Doohan Darcy, Finn Russell, and Chris Harris and Stuart Hogg in it. I know I don't mean to dump on Sione Tiopolotu, but you know, there's a couple of guys you could slot in at 12. But that core of the spine of Ali Price, Finn Russell, Doohan and Darcy on the wings, Stuart Hogg and Chris Harris. That is a phenomenal backline. And that is I think that's probably the first time. Maybe it's not. Maybe I'm misremembering, but I feel like it's certainly the first time they've all been on form.
All played together the game we won in against France in Paris.
Yeah.
That was the game Finn got sent off. Because get Grant Gilchrist out of there and put in Scott Cummings, and that is probably our strongest team.
Are we then saying that Richie Gray is stronger than Johnny Gray?
Placer Brown, like, where did that come from? He was phenomenal.
I'll segue on that point, actually. I'll come to you, Craig Manson, because you've been very vocal about Fraser Brown over the years. Fraser Brown's performance at the weekend was one of the best performances from a hooker Scotland have seen in some time. What went on there?
Well, have you ever seen The Green Mile? I think Jack Dempsey has taken all the black stuff out the middle of Fraser Brown and taken it on board.
I'm winding you up. I'm going to kick you off.
What I would say is Fraser Brown, absolutely a phenomenal performance on the weekend. His arrows were straight. But, you know, someone who we talk about in set piece on a regular basis was a nightmare around the park, and was really, you know, someone who's obviously been out to Scotland squad from some time and had to put a performance in to kind of say, hello, I'm still here sort of thing. And it was just lovely to see him play rugby and not give away stupid penalties and bits and pieces, you know. But then you can go through the whole list. Like, Richie Gray has showed himself, apart from what we might talk about of me and band now, but we saw Richie Gray as he was when he was playing 3-4 years ago. It seems just like yesterday. And Grant Gilchrist breaking through tackles, breaking through and powering through and making fun. You know, every time Gilchrist, Gray, Fraser Brown took the ball on, they were gaining 5 yards through the, you know, for that 50 minutes or 40 minutes in the middle, you know, they looked absolutely deadly. I was really, really impressed with them until they got into the 22, and then we can start talking about that.
Yeah, I was just going to kind of bring that in, but getting on to that point, Cammy, when we got opportunities, we all commented on social media, everybody was mentioning, we coughed up so many try-scoring opportunities. I mean, we left probably 28 to 30 points out there.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, there's definitely three times we were on the line. I mean, there's the Jamie Ritchie log roll where he just didn't stop. There was a couple of times where we just, you know, I mean, the thing is, like, it's the All Blacks' defence, and the All Blacks' defence is absolutely ferocious. And we should have seen, I think, to lose it, the Jamie Ritchie thing's a mistake, right? The second time when the All Blacks are absolutely doing everything they can on the line to stop you, you learn the lesson, and we didn't. And there were opportunities to go wide. I mean, Craig, it's hard to see, I think, on the telly, because, you know, after all these years, they still haven't got right how to show rugby on the telly. But Craig, you're in the stadium. You know, there were options to go wide sooner than they did, and it's that thing we've always said about Scotland: is just keep, you know, to keep pummeling at the try line. And it's, I mean, it almost felt like kind of pre-Vern Cotter, that white line fever we used to get under Frank Haddon, of, you know, we're almost going to score a try. Oh, we're going to cough the ball up. We're going to give away a stupid penalty.
Yeah, what was it really upsetting us, and especially, well, the people that were sitting around us, because I was quite vocal, so they basically had to hear my point while I was there.
That's what I went to see when I was vocal about Flinty, people moved seats, Craig.
How Craig's take is different whether it's him saying it or someone else saying it. When I gave my opinion after the France game, he was quite upset about that as well.
It was a sellout. Nobody could move. The thing is, it was when we've got that back line that are playing that well, why are we not moving the ball? I don't mind one or two. We've talked about this before. One, two, three phases knocking on the door. Fine. Absolutely fine. But we need to clear that ball. The reason you knock on the door like that for three phases is if you try to power over, if you're not going to power over, get quick ball and fire it out, because you're sucking everybody in. And
I'm just going to note down the point where Craig said, always give it to the backs. So 32 minutes.
I'm just saying, after three phases, when you've got Ardy, he was standing back watching, trying to see when it's going to be time, and then he dived in and took the ball, and he did it three times, and it's just, it was so annoying, because Doohan was on fire, Darcy was on fire. Why are we not putting the ball over to these guys?
So it all seemed to be telegraphed, like one pick and go. It was never like mini pods. I think there was only one time where somebody actually ran on it. I think Dempsey, just after he come on, ran out of the ball. That's the rest of the time,
Scott,
just all
Scott
looking
was
about,
so bad like, for that.
But the thing is, that's the thing. When we were running onto the ball in the midfield, we were tearing them apart. And we were breaking through. We were 5 meters, 5 yards, whatever you want to call it, you know, and whether you're metric or old fashioned, it was always, we were absolutely pulling them apart, and they were struggling. They were They had what's his name, Linnett Brown, before he got his yellow card, was screaming at people to get round, and they were really working hard, and we were tearing them apart.
I mean, there was I can't remember, there was a Twitter stat I saw about teams who got percentage of ball that came out from 3 seconds or under. Yeah. Italy was up at around 84%. We were second bottom of the entire list for the weekend at about 50-odd. So it's just when we get to these close positions, we don't have that nasty monsterness or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And we just know, always...
For all we started off by saying, like, he's the other guy in that back line, I think we mentioned it on Sunday afternoon. Siri Tuipulotu made yards over the gain line every single time he got the ball. Like, he was monstrous.
And
but he got isolated a lot, though, Johnny. To be fair, he got isolated a lot. And I think that,
yeah,
again,
but
if
you're 2 yards out, it doesn't matter if you get isolated because you're over the try line.
No, that's true. The interesting
thing, I don't
think
he got turned over very often, though. Like, he was able to, you know, keep himself up or get away with this thing. Like, after Richie got done for rolling, I saw at least three others, two by Scotland, one by the All Blacks, where you could say the same thing, but it's only just because of where they were on the pitch.
The problem with Jamie Ritchie's role was it was blatant. You could see, we were lucky enough to be down that side of the pitch, so we could see, and I saw it and went, oh, I knew that was going to get called back, because it was
momentum.
Because there were
Momentum, yeah.
It was definitely, they were, you know, he was trying to stop them getting the ball because he'd found himself on a second on his own. And he was, you know, he didn't have the backup right there and then, so he put the extra roll in to keep them away from the ball. But sorry, Cammy.
Well, I was gonna say that the interesting stat though, and this is where we get killed every time with this, is, you know, it's the points per visit to 22 is we're on 2.1 and the All Blacks are on 3.9.
Yeah.
You need to be averaging 3+ on a visit to the 22. Because that means you're getting a penalty every time. That means on average, you're getting at least a penalty every time.
You get a score every time you go away.
That's it. Yeah. They're 3.9, we're 2.1.
First half, and I think they were averaging something.
At one point they were
14 points, 7 points per visit to the 22.
Yeah,
in the first
they had
two visits,
two scores. So they were 7 points a visit, and we were 2 point odds.
About six or something. Yeah.
It's difficult. Like chronologically, this is the way I'm doing this, so you're just gonna have to deal. We've dealt with the first 8 minutes of the game, and we've had lots of debate about the rest of the game. Let's talk about the Siobhan Katigan tribute. Really well observed this week, and also got a big shout out on the commentary as well. Great to see starting to take shape. Obviously building for next week as well. So did you see it on the television? How did you feel about it?
It was really audible on TV, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
I watched Australia on TV, didn't really notice it, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Yeah.
John and I were at Fiji, obviously, and it was much better, yeah. I feel like, than it was at Australia. And then this week, it was brilliant, and obviously enough that Nick Mullins mentioned it on the commentary. So.
Andrew Cotter, sorry.
Yeah that's a bad mistake to make as well.
Former podcast guest, Andrew Cotter.
Sorry, Andrew.
Yeah, Andrew's raging right now. Absolutely raging. Craig, you were in the stadium, so how did it come across in the stands?
Came across very, very well. Came across very respectful. There was enough people in the crowd in each section that it was a nice... You know, it wasn't just one section that was applauding. It was the whole stadium. And again, just as has been saying, it came across in the TV quite well because it was loud. Wasn't crazy loud, but it was audible. It was, and it got to the point where because I knew about it and I was ready for it. But and so was Cordelia. But the two kids weren't that sure. They didn't, and they're saying, "What's the clapping for?" And we had a discussion about it after the claps had happened. So they joined in, and everyone, you know, it was nice. Yeah,
amazing. And
I think the thing is the way. Obviously, well done, Alan McDonald, for organising it. And I think they did some flying outside the stadium for this game in particular, and I know Alan's done a lot of work in trying to connect with people like Andrew Cotter and the Amazon production team just to kind of make sure that they're aware of it and that they reference it. I think what's key is, obviously, I think it'll grow for the Argentina game. More people know about it. It'll be you'd hope it would increase again. But I don't think this should be the end of it. I think it needs to carry on to the Six Nations. I really hope it does. I'd actually like it to become a bit of a thing, really, that we just keep doing it. On the eighth minute, I think it could be a tradition, and it just keeps going.
I think we do. Yeah, I spoke to Alan. Obviously, me and Alan have the same employer, so I actually spoke to him on work chat. He pinged me regarding this very thing, and exactly what I said to Alan, that this should be something that continues. Definitely needs to be something that continues for the foreseeable future. And I agree, Cammy. I think it's something that, you know, if you want to set traditions and you want to make the Murrayfield match day experience, well, let's have something like this that is our thing to celebrate someone like Siobhan. I think it's so important. So, yeah, I think we need to actively encourage that.
My worry is as well that the SRU have taken the position that they're just not going to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And I think Alan... has been very measured, I think, in everything he's done with speaking to the press about the reason behind it and what his expectations would be of the SRU and what they should do. It hasn't resulted to kind of any extreme rhetoric with it. It's just they should have done a review. They haven't done a review. They're not taking it seriously enough. And that's the line. And I think until, certainly until there is a review and an acknowledgement from the SRU, it needs to be, this is not going away. This, the fans will continue to do this until something is done. And it may be that review is that, you know, nothing has, you know, nothing untoward happened, and it was just a very unfortunate series of events that occurred. And that's fine, but that's what a review is there for. And I think until that happens, I think it's absolutely right that, that this carries on being a thing. And I think the risk for the SRU, I would say, is that if they don't address it, it becomes an ingrained thing that we do every single game. And that they get to a point where they say, we'll do a review, but it's too late at that point. And then for years afterwards, on the eighth minute, Scotland fans applaud, and we all remember why we're applauding. And it becomes a sense of shame for the SRU that, that they didn't act quickly enough to nip this in the bud.
I'd far rather it was a celebration than a protest. And the SRU need to then take that on board to deal with it. But it becomes a celebration rather than a protest. I know it is a celebration of her as well, but it's definitely a protest, I think, as well. And I'd like that to go away and make it a celebration rather than...
If I was the SRU, and I'm not, but if I was the SRU...
No, you're not.
Certainly not. That's been made very clear on a number of occasions.
No letters.
If I was the SRU, I would have embraced this sooner, and certainly would have embraced this following the All Blacks game when it's reached a crescendo.
Yeah.
And said, we will now take ownership of this. Yes, we've listened to everybody. We will do a review, and this is how we will do it. And going forward, we acknowledge this fan-led gesture, and we'd like to continue to honour Siobhan Cattigan and her memory by making this a regular thing. And I think that there's a win there for the SRU if it's willing to take it, but it's not. I think that's the one. It's not willing to
name take a, it. Name a girls' training academy after, you know, you'll do a proper inquiry.
Exactly. Get,
you know, even like, I mean...
A scholarship, something. Just acknowledge it.
They might even have to get the Scottish Government, because if you look at the Scottish Government gave the SRU, was it 30 million in total?
30 million over COVID, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They might want to, you know, if they think our money's gone into some of this, and I hate to make it like a political point or anything, but the fact is, we know there isn't enough education into brain injuries and into women's rugby. You know, if the Scottish Government are thinking some of our money's name is in the back of this, and they haven't looked after this person properly, we need a proper review on everything. You know, and how concussion is dealt with across all sports, because there's been some horrific events in football as well recently, where players haven't been taken off.
There's been a horrific moment at rugby this weekend as well with Abby Dow as well. So yeah, we've still got a long way to go. We as a sport, we need to grow. Football needs to grow. Everyone needs to grow, and we need to be respecting this properly. And I think Cammy's absolutely spot on that we need to. You know, there is an opportunity. There's a very, very quickly closing window of opportunity for the SRU to acknowledge this and actually to embrace it in the way it's meant to be done. Quickly, to your point, Craig, it will quickly go from, I think it has been, for the most part, celebration.
Yeah.
With a degree of protest, and I don't disagree with that, but I think it will very quickly go from celebration to protest if it's not acknowledged by the governing body, and they are in a position where they can't necessarily do that because of the various litigation that's ongoing.
Yeah,
their lawyers will be very much in their ear telling them what they can and can't do. So it's a very tricky circumstance.
Am I right in saying, before I get on my high horse here, because I do get on my high horse a little bit with this, right in saying that they haven't put her picture up on the big screen in an international match and celebrated her.
Wasn't in the video montage of the World Cup team.
If we had lost a Scotland international player, and when you would have it up on the screen for a Scotland international, and there'd be a minute's silence or a minute's applause. You would then also have it with a Scotland international women's game, and you would have it with the two professional games. Now, I'm right in saying I think that Edinburgh and Glasgow both had a minute's silence for it.
Yeah, I think that's true, yep.
But, you know, there was no harm. Again, just as you say, you're not acknowledging guilt, you're not acknowledging anything by putting our picture up and having a minute's silence at the beginning of a match for you know, one of the international, the Autumn Nations games. Yeah. It just would have...
It's not unknown for Murrayfield to put a picture up and have a minute's silence for, like, past presidents of clubs. Like, we'll probably have a minute's silence for the past president from Selkirk from last week when we go to the Argentina game on Saturday. So a player who was actually a member of Scotland.
It's almost like they don't like women, Johnny.
It almost is, yeah.
I thought where you were going with that, Johnny, was they're going to have a minute's silence for us when the time comes.
for Flinty when you finally dig him up.
When
that's going to be how they reveal it. A minute's silence for OG Flinty, and that's how we know it's case closed. He's never coming back.
But there'll be questions. Cammy will ask questions at that point.
Oh, aye.
No doubt. Yeah, so yeah, really, really, really difficult stuff. And I think the problem is it detracts from what we're seeing on the park as well. And that's actually what we've commented a lot about the SRU over the last wee while, is the circus off the park is detracting from the lack of quality in some cases.
We should address this, by the way, what Hamish has just been saying in the comments. Did the women's team do anything during the World Cup? The women's team did, yes. A lot of the players had their own sort of, had their name on their wrist tape or on their boots or whatever. I don't think there was anything organised on a sort of squad-wide. There was no minute silences or anything. No. The players themselves did loads of stuff.
Yeah, the pictures I've seen, the vast majority of them had Shibby written on their wristbands and things like that. So, they did. They put you know, she was front and centre, and obviously there was a whole debacle about the comments from the it was madness, but the players did celebrate her in their own way, as they rightly should. You know, she was instrumental in working with them to get to that World Cup. So horrible situation, and again it's so difficult when you're trying to celebrate a game and we're in this situation where we're talking
I've got more thoughts on this. Let's save this to Hands in the Ruck. Yeah, I'm making one of my Hands in the Ruck.
Look, we're 49 minutes
Cammy in. I would like to try it.
Let's put a pin in this, and I'd like to have, a rant later
on. Excellent. I like that. Right, let's talk about 8 minutes on. 8 minutes to about 64 minutes. Scotland, as I said, they coughed up lots of try-scoring opportunities, but they scored some nice stuff. How good was Stuart Hogg at the weekend, Johnny McGinty?
Really good. Like,
I wouldn't go really good.
Really?
Oh, you're over-egging he's back. He's old. Still no.
Do you know, this is something that we were kind of speaking about last week after the Fiji game, because John and I had very different opinions about how certain players performed in the Fiji game than Rory did. Because we were in the stadium and Rory was watching on TV. And now, those of us who are watching on TV have got quite a different opinion about Hoggy than what you do from in the stadium.
Yeah.
So, and actually, on TV, he looked really good.
Did he?
I think he did, really? Yeah.
He's slipped a good couple of tackles.
Yeah.
Don't tell him that I said this, but he's never really made tackles, has he? Mm. He's not in there to make tackles.
Yeah, but that first—I mean, the first one on Talia.
The first one was bad.
Hey,
Johnny, I know you're a fullback, right? I know, right?
I'm going to
forgive him the Barrett one because he had chased so far, but then there was another one in the second half. It's just like,
how can
he get stepped? How can Hogg get stepped by somebody who's so much bigger than him? It's like Hogg. You've just...
Because he doesn't want to defend. He's a small man. Leave Hoggy alone.
He's the exact same kind of fullback as me. He's a tackling optional fullback.
Yeah, totally. He's a super rugby fullback.
Was it the first or second try where he rushes up out of defence and completely makes an absolute dog's dinner of the tackle.
I think
after he just after they'd just done that bit on Amazon where they said, "Judge me on my rugby." In his first his first involvement in the game was to miss a tackle.
He means judge me on my running with the ball, and I think we all know that. And his running with the ball was really good.
But again, there was a scoring opportunity. He had Darcy out on the outside of him. He accelerated up, and you saw him. He got the ball and went, "I'm going to score here," and he went and didn't he pass the ball? Now, don't get me wrong. He passed it more this game than I've seen him pass for a long time. But he just saw the white line fever coming and say, "Look, I can redeem myself here."
That one was a tricky one, to be fair, because I've looked at that a couple of times and I thought, should he have gone outside to Graham earlier, and then that brings Clark across, gone back in, because Doohan was also waiting in there.
Yeah,
and we know what Doohan's like from like 7 meters. It's basically tight.
We need to take the time to act, like, so obviously Hogg had conversion therapy at the weekend previous, where like me and Johnny have decided to battered him to the point where he eventually passed to Doohan, and obviously we can only do this once a weekend. I don't think he's had his Graham conversion therapy yet.
Our theory after the Fiji game was that while he was in, because he was in for a few minutes of his sin bin getting his tape adjusted, and John and I's theory was that one person was adjusting his tape and then the other person was just slapping him out the face going, "Doohan is massive, give him the ball." And it obviously worked because he was doing it.
They'd have a new bromance going, because did you see him jumping out on him and giving him a leaf break?
Magnificent.
So there's definitely a bromance going.
The thing is, Darcy's from Hoik, right? They're basically next door neighbours.
Yeah,
so
he doesn't like him. It's borders. It's borders rivalry, Cam.
I was going to say you can't have a rivalry between the same town.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Yeah, you absolutely can. I mean, I think that is Darcy. I think they may even be from different Hoik teams.
Exactly. There you go. There you go.
One of the 300 different rugby teams that can run out of Hoik.
And anyone that's joining us for the first time, welcome to Scottish rugby. Where the heartland of Scottish rugby is an absolute shower. It's magnificent. So, let's just concentrate on the positives as well, right? So, obviously, Scotland went in with a lead at half-time, battering down the door of the All Blacks. We took a three-point lead, which probably, I think, for most people's most people were like, well, that probably doesn't represent that first half, despite the first 10 minutes. And then Scotland done very Scotland things in the second half, where we poor decisions. We got on the wrong side of Frank Murphy, which Rory, in his absolute magnificence, predicted probably about 13 minutes in and said, wait till we get on Frank Murphy's bad side. But the referee wasn't, there's been a lot of chat from Scotland fans, and maybe we'll come on to this in Hands of Ruck as well, guys, but I just want to get your views on it just now. The referee didn't lose us that game. The referee, for me, was completely fair. Just
like, this is the thing with Frank Murphy. He was terrible, but he was consistently terrible.
So,
Patricia Vieira, a good friend of ours, she said on Sunday afternoon, "You live by the Frank, you die by the Frank." And like, and we, Scotland lived by the Frank for quite a long time in that game. And then
it's Murphy's Law.
It's die by the Frank time. And like, he genuinely, I don't think, did favour either team.
No.
He was atrocious, but he was atrocious for everyone. Like,
it's terrible for both teams. Cammy, you've got a view on this.
No, I you can't blame. You can look at the refereeing decisions, but you know we were both on the end of wrong decisions by Frank Murphy. So, and we left. You know, we left 20 points on the field.
Yeah,
if you think of the times we were trying, you know, you can't. That's not Frank Murphy's fault. You know, those calls were right. The calls on the try line were right. They're unarguable. I think there were the calls in the middle of the park and in the 22 sometimes were questionable, but he didn't deny. He didn't cheat us out of a try.
Tom Foley tried to.
He talked us back into a try,
Hogg
overran it. How can he have overrun it when he's still behind the ball?
Getting tackled.
I think you can see there's a sliding doors. It's a sliding doors try, that one, right?
Yeah.
Because he's reaching out to grab the ball, and there is a world in which the ball, he palms it into his chest and he lands on the floor and scores it. There's a world in which it hits his fingertips and he knocks it on. Right. Mm-hmm. And both those two things are entirely possible. He's making a balance of probabilities judgment and it's gone in our favour. But equally, the TMO was doing his best to say there was cover there and he's never going to bring that to his chest.
He's Scottish, on Sundays. He's never scoring that.
Exactly. I mean, that was essentially the TMO's argument was he's Scottish, he's never going to score it. I should also, while we're talking about Stuart Hogg, just as a kind of bit of a fact check, Stuart Hogg started with Hoik Wanderers and Darcy Graham started with Hoik Rugby Club. So that's clearly why Hoggy's not passing it, Darcy, because they're from different clubs within Hoik.
I love that you went and checked
that. That was very well.
I wanted to check it, but yeah. Neither played for Hoik Trades, though. Yeah, neither played for Hoik Trades, though.
I think the whole Frank Murphy thing, though, he's starting to turn into a bit of a pantomime villain. And, you know, we were there and obviously the Stuart Hogg question mark try also then falls into the same thing. I've forgotten the guy's name, the All Black winner in the corner.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Now the crowd obviously hyped up. Whenever that came up on the screens, they were screaming and shouting. And instead of Murphy just standing there and letting the kick go ahead after he checked, etc., he's shaking his head at the crowd and everything like that. And it was just becoming a bit pantomime villain-esque.
But WWE...
Frank Murphy is anything. Frank Murphy's the back half of a pantomime horse. Let's be open about this.
Are you calling him a horse's ass?
Let's not go full Razzie on this and start doing yellow triangles around everything.
No, listen, I'm not saying he cost us the game or he refereed against us or anything. What I'm saying is he's a very bad referee. No matter who you are or who you support, he made sure.
Outside of Holly Davidson, right? There are no good referees in world rugby right now.
Luke Pearce is good.
No, he's not.
Is he?
No,
yes.
No.
Yeah.
Disagree. He's not got Frank Murphy's hair. He is not a good referee. Frank
Christopher Ridley, he's a good looking man.
Frank looked like he was on his holidays at the weekend. He was just like, oh, I am. He looked like, to me, Frank Murphy looked so happy to be refereeing that game, and his hair and everything was just, I was all in for it.
I know we're getting
massively sidetracked here, right? But Christoph Ridley runs a Bronco nearly as fast as Beauden Barrett.
Whoa!
The problem I have is I would have rather have had either of the touch judges as the ref than Frank Murphy. That was the problem.
What I will say in Frank Murphy's favour is he refereed that game in the same way as a provincial policeman would officiate a fight in a pub. There was a point at which Alexander was doing his old sandbag thing and he was going, not now, boys, not now.
Yeah, he went, nobody wants this. It's like, Frank, have you never seen Xander?
Everybody wants it.
Definitely does. Everyone in the crowd wants it. Xander wants it.
So
I'm pretty just sure let it Sam happen. Whitelock wants it.
Right.
Can we have a boys will be boys ruling here, Frank, please?
Yeah, come on, Frank. Craig, last 10 minutes, the inevitability of it all kicked in. The All Blacks, obviously, the Jack Dempsey situation, and you'll see why I've come to you. The yellow card for Jack Dempsey really set Scotland on the back foot and then conceded points aplenty to lose the game. What did we just run out of steam or was that what happened, I guess?
Like, I don't know. I think Dempsey, obviously, because of...
Hang on.
I'm about to come out in his defence.
Good.
Dempsey is a good player. He does a great job for Glasgow, and he has played. When he came out in the Fiji game, he played incredibly well for the Fiji game. My worry and my concern, and it manifested itself this weekend, was a little bit of overtrying. He didn't need to go for that tackle. There was cover outside him on the tackle. He didn't, and no matter. And we've all had a chat about this before. It was a clear knock on from, and it wasn't like, oh, he was going for the tackle. The hand was quite far out from the body, so. on my side of things, I know what he was trying to do. I know that he was trying his best and he was working hard to try and stop this because they were desperate to win and beat the All Blacks. And I totally understand it. It just unfortunately came to him and it got knocked on. It was a yellow card. There's nobody can turn around and say that wasn't a yellow card. And that's...
We could, though, because it wasn't a yellow card.
It was a yellow card. It was a yellow card
by
all
the letter of the stupidest law in the law book. It is a yellow card.
It's a yellow card.
But it's not. This is the thing. This is the problem I have with TMOs and slow motion replays, right? You play something like that in slow motion, it will look 900 times worse than it actually was. Okay. If you play it in slow motion, that is not the speed with which he was reacting to the situation in front of him. He was trying to wrap the tackle. That's what he's trying to do. And
it happened to Duncan Taylor against Ireland as well.
But then this is the thing.
It's the stupidest law going, it's a yellow.
If you look at let's take scrummaging, okay? Because I know about that. Thanks, John. John, for those that aren't listening, John has just done that. Really? So and I'll talk to him later about that.
John and Craig are going head to head on Saturday. Let's put this out because we can get a crowd.
Mr. Murphy and his touchdown's got a fair bit of verbal on a couple of the first scrums when the All Black loose head was on his knees at one point and was folding Xander in. But that's a different story.
Were you sticking up for Xander?
No, Xander played well, apart from his feet going back into his old position again of way too far back, but that's a different story. In a scrum, if a scrum hits the floor very, very quickly, to any referee, there is foul play going on. There's something going on in that scrum. When a ball fires out the back of a tackle, like it's been battered out, you can see it being projected like a goalie's just punched it out the goal. There is something happened there. It's about the picture that's being presented. It's a yellow card that came off his hand. His hand was quite far away from the body. Yes, he may have been going for a wrap round to try it, but as Johnny has said, per the letter of the law, it's a yellow card.
Well, let's talk about this one. So Magnus has popped up. It was a penalty only in the Italy game, an identical incident. Again, this is probably the...
Yes, but we can talk about that all we want. Consistency doesn't happen. Head notes.
I think the thing is, right, we can argue to a blue in the face about whether it was a yellow or not. And I think there's arguments both ways. It was a yellow, it wasn't a yellow. I'm happy with it being a penalty, right? Whether it was accidental or not. The issue for me when we come back to the original point is I think Jack Dempsey had a good game. If you take that out of it, Jack Dempsey was everywhere as soon as he came on the pitch. He's not Mish, but I thought he had a very good game against the All Blacks. He was an utter nuisance at the breakdown. He seemed to be absolutely everywhere. And yes, he got yellow carded, but you take that out of the equation because that decision could have gone either way. And anybody in Jack Dempsey's position would have done the same thing. Jack Dempsey had a good game.
I think that's fair. I think that's absolutely fair. And, that's the situation where we're at now. Obviously, with Hamish Watson being injured, and we'll come on to it just now. Obviously, Scotland have lost the game, but then we've got Richie Gray being cited afterwards, has been announced today. He's got a 3-week ban. I'm not entirely sure what incident it was, but is it the Barrett getting? He's claimed he's been punched. Incident?
No, he entered a ruck with a shoulder.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
All right. Okay. Because I tend to enter a ruck with my knee. So
nobody's provided any from what I've seen. Well, I've only seen the Scottish Rugby announcement about it. So there's not any detailed breakdown, but. Why wasn't this picked up by the TMO at the time if there's 800 million cameras? And if they're going to suggest that, if Tom Foley's going to suggest that Stuart Hogg might have overrun a ball for the try and all these kind of things, he'd maybe pick up on somebody getting their face burst open. But then because Richie's pleaded not guilty, it automatically becomes 6 weeks and then
yeah.
To get it down. Craig?
I can just I can't 100% see this, but I think I saw it and it was a oh, and then because it was definitely a one of the rucks I saw and I went that oh that was cheeky, but because it was there was so much going on, and when you're you know you it has to be absolutely clear and obvious. And there was so much going on, and especially in both 22s, especially in New Zealand's 22, for quite a lot of the time in the game, that I think it's just been missed. And these things happen. And but what I would say is fair enough to the SRU and fair enough to Richie Gray, they backed themselves and said, you know, the SRU said we are quite happy that this is going to be turned over. Unfortunately, it didn't.
And another classic situation of the SRU getting it horribly wrong.
Yeah, the SRU going, we're going to fight this.
Shaking their fist at the weather.
Yeah, we'll fight this wind.
Right, so I'm conscious of time, guys. We will come on to the what was probably the best game of rugby I've seen in quite some time. At the weekend, we will have to cover that on another podcast. I believe we've got plans to try and do a special for the Rugby World Cup. Let's talk it at length, but let's just give a couple of minutes over just now, guys. New Zealand England at the weekend of the Women's Rugby World Cup. What a bloody game of rugby, eh?
Phenomenal, like the best World Cup final I've ever seen.
It's still saved on my Sky planner. I've been working two jobs.
Yeah, there you go. Come back for Hands in the Ruck once you've watched it.
Yeah, go and watch it just now. We'll catch up with you.
How long do you think this is? Are you actually going to take 8 minutes to talk about it? I've seen the red card. That's definite. But yes, it's saved.
I was listening to the game driving up to Aberdeen for I was going to another farming show, and the
legs you'll go through the farms.
Oh no, this was tractors. Oh, tractors. But anyway,
he lost the rear end of a tractor more than a kid.
I know what that MP in Parliament was looking at tractors for. has a steam effect. So anyway, I was listening on the Five Live, and they provided a very, very good commentary on it. And I was on the edge of the seat driving up the road. It was absolutely brilliant. And
I honestly thought I wanted England to win, and I've never wanted England to win anything before. But I really like this Red Roses team. I think they're brilliant. I was so sure that I wanted them to win. And then when New Zealand scored a try to go ahead, my instantaneous reaction told me that actually I didn't want England to win.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Just like so excited.
Such a good game.
I don't understand why I don't understand why anybody would want England to win that game.
I like the Red Roses a lot. They're like
I don't dislike them in the same way that you kind of dislike the England men's team, but
yeah.
I think the Black Ferns winning is the better story. I mean, there's an argument to say that the Red Roses winning is that it's proof that investing and having full time players.
Yeah. That's it. The Red Roses winning proves that taking women's rugby seriously leads to winning World Cups. The Black Ferns winning, much as I was excited about it, proves that you can treat your women's team like dirt, drop a coach in 6 months before who says, oh, actually, I know nothing about this team, and still win the World Cup. And like that doesn't sit very well with me.
I think we will probably come on to some of this in Hands of the Ruck, guys. We are out of time for tonight.
And on that bombshell...
I'm not going down that route. It has been an absolute pleasure, as always, guys. I just want to leave the crowd tonight with just one more little snippet before they head off. We're going to do a little bit of this. That's right. We've had the time.
That is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Is that worse than the Dallas one we did last week?
I think that is worse than the Dallas one.
I can't unsee that. I can't
unsee that. I messaged Gabriel.
John sent that to me and I was like going, why has he left Patrick Swayze in the video? That's how big my ego is.
I said that to one of my workmates and she was like, yeah, I recognise you, but The other guy doesn't look too different. I was like, shut up! No, that's nonsense! Anyway, that I have had the time of my life.
You're not far from grey to black, are you?
It's not too far, mate. I think I've got the right look. Nobody puts John in the corner. It's been a pleasure as always, guys. We are going to drop off now for our Freeview listeners. We're going over to the Doogie Donnelly mob, and we're going to have some chat with them in due course. I think there's a few people needing a pee as well, so we'll let them go and get their toilet breaks. But for now, it has been a pleasure. Good night from me. Good night from Ian, Craig, Johnny, and of course Cammy.
See you.
Well,
Cammy's on mute.